Everybody, good morning this morning. It is good. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I appreciate that sweet prayer, Brother Burrow. You know, it's wonderful to come together and see God's children. It's wonderful to get to come to church and see all those we love, those we care about. We get to band together as a congregation of like-minded people to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know from the Scripture that we're one or more gathered in His name. There He is in the midst. You understand that this morning? That when we gather together, we're not just coming to see each other. We're coming to His house. His house. Where we can feel His presence. Where we can dwell where He dwells. This is His kingdom on earth. Do you understand that we're enjoying right now the kingdom of God on this earth? You stand on sacred ground. We gather together on holy ground. When we come to this place, we come to worship God. And He meets us here. If it be His will, and if we're worshiping the truth and spirit, it's a wonderful thing we can celebrate this morning. My thoughts this morning come to me from a question I was asked last weekend. A sister asked me, says, "Brother Joe, I know that Jesus is the Son of God. But also, He's God in the flesh." And the question was, is Jesus God in the flesh? My short answer to her is yes. We believe that. We believe Jesus was God. He was all God. He was all man. He was God in the flesh. But the question that's really being asked here is about the Trinity. It's about the Godhead. If you go back and look on our articles of faith, we say we believe in one true and living God and the Trinity of persons in the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And yet these are not three, but one. Now, the problem with explaining this is you're trying to define an infinite God in a finite situation. We're finite. We're not infinite. It's hard to understand how this can be. How can three be one? It's hard to understand that. And I think if you're going to try to understand this, first you've got to accept this is a mystery to some extent to our mortal minds. To some extent, we're never going to understand everything about how this relationship works. But thankfully, from the Scripture of God, we say we believe it. And we believe it because it's written in the Word. Now, first, when you assume in these things that God is three persons in one. Three persons, one God. Then you have to understand that there is God the Father, there is God the Son, and there is God the Holy Spirit. All three are God, but all three are one. That's a hard saying. I understand that. It's a principle doctrine. It's a principle article of faith. But what's so wonderful about this that I love enjoying about this is, you know, every denomination, Christian denomination almost, this is one article of faith we almost all agree on. We believe in the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's a wonderful unifying fact. Just as they're unified, it unifies us around that fact. We believe that. Most Christians believe that. It's a simple way to say it, but it's a very complicated ideal. But when we're thinking about this, we assume that God is the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three are God. So let's read on that. Now, God the Father is God. That's easy enough to prove. We can all accept that. There's many mentions of God the Father. In Romans 1, Paul opens up and says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised before his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed and David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ." Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's mentions of God the Father all through. I'm just giving you one. We can prove here that the Father is God. Now, we also have to assume, if they're all three God, that Jesus Christ is God. If you will, turn with me to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, we know the Word was made flesh. The Word was Jesus Christ. But it says, "The Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus Christ was God. It says, "The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And you notice that was in the beginning. Nothing was made without Jesus Christ. So He had to be one with God. If He was in the beginning, He was one with God. He was God. So Jesus Christ was God. Now, explaining on, we also have to prove that the Holy Ghost was God. Three persons, one God. If you will, turn with me to Acts. Chapter 5 and verse 3. Chapter 5 and verse 3, we find a man named Ananias. In verse 3 it says, "But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto man, but unto God." Lying unto the Holy Spirit is just like lying unto God. Let's turn to John chapter 4. Back to John. In John chapter 4 and verse 24. Let's start in verse 23. It says, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Notice in verse 23, the verbiage that's using, they're talking about the Father. In verse 24, it says God. God is a spirit. To lie to God, to lie to the Holy Spirit, is just like lying to God. The Holy Ghost is God. God is a spirit. You know, when you talk about these verses, I see something come up in my mind that reminds me of something I learned back in geometry class. Because when you relate one thing to another, these things are known as transitive properties. Now, if you're going to say that God, lying to the Holy Spirit, is like lying to God, and you're going to equate God and the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is God, then you're allowing that to be a transitive property. Transitive property is used in geometry. The transitive property is actually called the principle, the transitive property of congruence. Basically, what it says is one thing is like a second thing. And the second thing is like a third thing. So if the second thing is like the first thing and the second thing is like the third thing, then the third thing and the first thing are also alike. You know what that's used in? When it's talking about, in geometry, what it's talking about? It's talking about triangles. Three sides, three angles, three. And this is the easiest way that I can think of. Now, hopefully this morning we've proved that God the Father is God, Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God. These three in one are God. But to our finite minds, how can we explain these things? And this is the best way I can explain it. And I never thought that math would be my friend. But when you think about that triangle, and also in geometry, if you think about it, if you have equal angles and each side is equal, you have an equilateral triangle. But they're all three sides, but one triangle. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three persons in one. Just like a triangle. Three sides, three equal angles. Three things, but they make up one. That's the best I can explain it this morning. You know, when they asked me about this, Brother James called me last afternoon on my way home. And I don't know if y'all remember, but he said he was going to give me some homework. And the homework he was going to give me was to give my thoughts on the Trinity. Isn't it wonderful how God works sometimes? A sister had asked me a question. Brother James came back after and said, Brother Joe, I want you to give me your thoughts on this. The Lord Jesus Christ, the God, must be wanting this to be talked about. Because it is. It is hard to understand in a finite mind these things. But it is absolute principle. It is a building block of our faith that we understand this. Now I want you to think about something else for a minute. Now if you take a triangle and you lay it flat, it exists in the same plane. You take that same triangle and you turn it up and you put it through that plane. Now it exists in multiple planes. Now if you can understand how God, see, time and space doesn't matter to God. God exists outside of that. So if you can understand that time and space don't matter to God, that He consumes all, He's everywhere, He's omnipresent, this Holy Trinity, where one is present, all three are present, then you can go back and understand that verse a little bit we were talking about the other week in John 3 and 13 that says, no man hath ascended up, but he that came down, even he which is in heaven. Now, Jesus, we affirmed last time we were here that he was talking about himself. But how can somebody talk about something that is going to happen in the past tense that hasn't happened yet? Something that's already happened. He's come down. But then also at the same time he was here, he was present in heaven. How can all those things be? We serve a God that can talk about things that will be as though they already are. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. But also we see that through the Trinity, He is omnipresent. Because He is one with God, and I believe in John chapter 10, just to talk about one of those other transitive properties, it says that He and the Father are one. Because they are one, and they exist together in the Trinity, wherever they are, they exist together. So while Jesus was here, He was also present with God. He was all God. He was all man. Why is it important to understand these things? Why is it important? Why is it important to understand that they were together, that they are one? In the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Son. If you can't understand that, then you'll never understand Ephesians 1. In Ephesians 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him, in Jesus Christ, when? Before the foundation of the world. If Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and God the Father were not one, how could we be chosen in Him before the foundation of the world? But that's when you were chosen in Christ. There was an election that took place. You were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, if Jesus Christ wasn't God and didn't exist in the beginning and they weren't one, then how can these things be? But once you understand that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one and they've always been, and the purpose and the way of salvation that God created in Christ Jesus has always been, and God has always had a way to save His before the foundation of the world, you understand that He was there. Him and God are one. When you can understand all these things and these principles and these doctrines that we hold so dear, they just build one upon the other. They're building blocks. And to understand some, to have a good light, and to understand some, you have to understand the others. But the chief cornerstone, the chief building block, was the Lord Jesus Christ. So to answer your question this morning, Jesus Christ was the Son of God, but He was all God, and He was all man. I thank you for your good honor attention this morning.